ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning we're going to discuss Canto 3, Chapter 4, Texts 23 through 25. These three verses are spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, the narrator. He's narrated just ending. The previous verse was Uddhava's response, ongoing response to a series of questions from Vidura, all about Krishna, filled with very enlivening topics of Krishna. And he reaches a conclusion saying, I have to go now. There's an order that Krishna gave me to go to Bhadrikashram and find the sages Nara and Narayana and their devotees to share with them all that I just heard from Krishna. So I have to go now. It's early in the morning. It doesn't say in the verses, but within the commentary, Prabhupada speaks about they were up all night because their conversation began in the afternoon at sunset the previous day, and that same morning of the previous day is when Krishna left and Uddhava's smashed. Just wandering about and filled with grief, and here comes Vidura, who wants to hear about Krishna. He who loves Krishna speaks about Krishna to one who loves Krishna. And it's now morning, the sun has risen the next day, and Uddhava informs Vidura that he must go. He's heading north to associate with Nara Narayan Rishi on a mission. But he's naturally also showing his respect for them. He's not thinking something special about himself other than a message carrier. And those to whom he's carrying the message are persons that are very dear to the Lord, Nara and Narayana and their devotees. So that's where we ended with text 22. Here's text 23. Pishuka Uvacha. After hearing from Uddhava all about the annihilation of his friends and relatives, the learned Vidura pacified his overwhelming bereavement by dint of his transcendental knowledge. Take note that in each of the verses here, there's emphasis on different aspects of transcendental knowledge, transcendental knowledge, transcendental knowledge. And there are levels, we mentioned yesterday, levels of transcendental knowledge. For example, what Krishna spoke to Brahma, the Chaturshloki verses from second canto, and then Uddhava's wanting to hear from Krishna. You'll hear this phrase in the purport again, so I'll mention it again. Paramam stitim. Paramam stitim. Stitim means being situated. and paramam stitim, supremely situated or transcendental situation. The transcendental situation of Krishna is that he's the source of everything. And part of this little small subset of that Krishna is the source of everything is the distinction between the soul and matter, like Samkhya, like chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. The soul is distinct from matter. So later on in these verses, another phrase is going to be used, Atma Tattva. Atma Tattva, Tattva, knowledge of, comprehensive truths about Atma. Vishnu Tattva, Atma Tattva, Shakti Tattva. Tattva is, it means the entity and the knowledge about that entity. So in this case, Atma Tattva. So that's the beginning of transcendental knowledge, but there are further stages of transcendental knowledge. What does an Atma do? What do souls do? There's their constitutional position of the soul as an emanation from their source, the Supreme, the Absolute Truth. Then there's natural activity between the individual soul and the Absolute Truth. What do souls do in the liberated state? Was the activity in relationship to the Supreme. So that, in other words, sambandha abhideya, and then the mature stage of that abhideya, the activities in relation to the Supreme, is prayojana. Whatever that is prayojana gyan. And together they make up comprehensively the subject matter of the Vedas, or the subject matter of Vedanta Sutra, or the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, or the subject matter that was discussed by Lord Vishnu to Brahma, or by Krishna to Uddhava. But then there's another dimension, this paramam stitim, specifically Prabhupada is explaining, and he's going to repeat it again, that paramam stitim refers to the I'll just read his dealings. This transcendental situation comprises his dealings with devotees engaged in transcendental loving service as exhibited at Dwarka and Vrindavan. So the rasa part, the exchange of love, mutual, back and forth, not just one way, two way, the exchange of love, how Krishna loves his devotees, how the devotees love Krishna, the exchange of emotion, a very beautiful painting that comes to mind is Sudama coming to see Krishna. We very recently observed Akshaya Tritiya. From Samachalam, we know that importance. It is said that that's the day that Sudama went to see Krishna. And the Akshaya, the unlimited mercy that Sudama received may appear to be, instead of his little cottage, there was a palace. But that's not, that's one, Krishna is the source of everything. That's one sense of Akshaya. He's the unlimited source of everything. But that the painting, very love this painting, Sudama, Krishna immediately got up when he came into the palace. Here he is in rags and tattered cloth and skinny as can be and poor, apparently, you know, from a material perspective. Oh, this man is really poor. Brahmana. But in his heart he was carrying the greatest treasure, his love for Krishna. So the gesture of his wife, please go see Krishna because I can't stand to see you so emaciated like this. No, everything's fine. No, please go. So he went. It was an opportunity to stimulate that love once again. The separation, then the meeting. And as soon as Sudama came in, immediately Krishna rose from his throne in his palace and seated Sudama on the throne and had Rukmini bring paraphernalia for worshipping his friend. And so, how did Sudama feel during all of this? You know, Krishna, you can't do this. But he's a Brahmana, so Krishna worshipped him and washed his feet. And the painting is Krishna's washing his feet and Sudama's feet are sticking out. And externally, there's one thing going on, washing Sudama's feet. Internally, there's something else going on. Sudama's eyes are just dripping with tears, and Krishna's eyes are dripping with tears, and they're looking at each other in the eye, and there's washing, there's respecting the Brahmana, worshipping the Brahmana, but there's a flow of love that, who can understand what that was? And in the background of the painting is the wives, Rukmini, and whoever else was there, her attendants or some other wives. How astonishing. Such love between Sudama and Krishna. That's this paramam stitim. That's what Krishna described to Uddhava, and Uddhava had the capacity to receive it. And so, very elevated. Rich in transcendental knowledge. So just as the Bhagavatam in the beginning says Kaitava Dharma is out and Paradharma is in, that we're this we're not going to speak about the other kind. If you want to read about the other kind, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, read something else. This isn't going to talk about it at all. We're only going to speak about Paradharma. That's what was told by Narada to Vyasa, and that's what Vyasa did. So, at the very beginning, don't read further. If you want that other thing, don't read further. It's not here. Just, so this is, as is Paradharma, the supreme occupation of a living being, it's not just, okay, we're supposed to constitutionally, like a soldier saluting to the general, we're obediently supposed to serve the Supreme. That's okay, but go further and go further, and it's the exchange of love between the eternal associate of the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord, which we have forgotten, and this knowledge is meant to revive that. Thus bringing complete satisfaction to the self. Sam Siddhir Haritoshanam, by bringing satisfaction to Hari, what is he satisfied with? He has everything. With love. The goal is offer your love to Hari. And Yenatma Samprasidati. And then the Atma, this is Atma Tattva, the Atma then becomes fully satisfied. And we all want to be fully satisfied. Naturally so, and we're looking in the wrong direction to find that. Commonly, conditioned life is like that. Material life is like that. And spiritual life is bringing the attention back to the Supreme. So, in this third canto section, that the topic is being churned, of paramam stitim. Naturally, Vidura is eager to hear paramam stitim. Vidura just, Uddhava just heard it. And Uddhava's way up there. So he's something like you're familiar with the first canto, where the sages say to Sutta, you're so qualified. Not only you're the son of Rama Harshan, and who Vyas put in charge of the Puranas, you've heard from Shukadeva Goswami. And not only you've heard from Shukadeva Goswami, but you understood it. Not only you understood it, but you've assimilated it. So it's milking time. Let's go to the barn and get some milk. Please deliver what you understood and realized. So, like that, here is similar. Uddhava's just heard from Krishna. So, after hearing from Uddhava, the verse here is, it doesn't explicitly say in the verses that, oh, by the way, Vidura, I forgot to tell you that the Kurukshetra battle took place and everybody gets wiped out. All your relatives, they're gone. All your friends, they're gone. They're buried. Their funeral has taken place. And so it's a triple dose. He's heard on that side, in the Hastinapura side, in the Dwarka side, and now Krishna's gone. And what happens when you hear such things? Let me read what Prabhupada writes in the purport. It's really nice. Vidura was informed that the result of the Battle of Kurukshetra was the annihilation of his friends and relatives, as well as the destruction of the Yadu dynasty, and also the passing away of the Lord. All these hurled him into bereavement for the time being, but because he was highly advanced in transcendental knowledge, he was quite competent to pacify himself by enlightenment. As is stated in Bhagavad Gita, due to our long association with bodily relationships, bereavement on account of annihilation of friends and relatives is not at all astonishing. But one has to learn the art of subduing such bereavement with higher transcendental knowledge. The talks between Uddhava and Vidura on the topics of Krishna began at sunset, and Vidura was now further advanced in knowledge due to his association with Uddhava. So again, we have these hierarchies of transcendental knowledge. One transcendental knowledge is, after all, we're not this body. So, we're not used to that conception. We're used to the other one, with this body. And long association. Who can say how long? Not just this lifetime. Countless numbers of lifetimes so long that the tendency to identify with the body is very strong, even we know better. And when there's something calamitous on the bodily platform, it's difficult. And Prabhupada is acknowledging here bereavement due to this long association with bodily, not only bodily relationships, but bodily conception in along with those relationships. Bereavement on account of annihilation of friends and relatives is not at all astonishing. So we're the indication, the next is that by transcendental knowledge one can check that bereavement or the force of the mind to the platform of intelligence. And with intelligence one can control the mind and take consolation in the fact, as Krishna says to Arjuna, the soul is eternal. Najayate namriyate va kadachin. Never was there a time when the soul came into being. Souls can't go out of being. There's no cause for lamentation, Arjuna. So here is Vidura, who's amongst the Pandavas and that group, so elevated in knowledge, and he's experiencing bereavement. So even with knowledge, theoretical, long association with the other kind of knowledge and bodily relationships, it can be difficult. Krishna, for example, during the when he was in Dwarka, Krishna heard that the Pandavas had been killed. Of course, he knew that they had been burned in the house of Lak. So Krishna is omniscient. He knew that's not true. And what happened, he knew also. But Krishna went to perform the funeral for the Pandavas and Kunti, along with Balaram. And it was during that time that the Shyamataka jewel was stolen from Satrajit, and in fact, during the course of stealing the Shyamataka jewel from Satrajit, he was killed. He awoke as the Shyamataka jewel was being taken, and Kriptavarma, I believe, was the henchman. He killed Satrajit. So when Satyabhama awoke in the morning and went to see her father and found him dead, it was horrible. So she wanted to inform Krishna to take retribution, to punish the person that had done this. So the system at the time, she placed her father's body in a vat of oil to preserve it. And I can't recall if she went herself or sent a messenger to tell Krishna in Hastinapur what had just happened when Krishna came back. So here's transcendental personalities grieving over the untimely murder of Satrajit, Krishna's father-in-law. But later on, when Akura was brought back to present to Krishna the Shyamataka jewel, Krishna's omniscient, Krishna didn't even mention, Akura, were you involved in at least in conspiring in the death of my father-in-law? I mean, Krishna knew, but he didn't even mention that. He just mentioned, do you have the Shyamataka jewel? Because I heard you got this golden throne, and Shyamataka jewel gives whatever the number is, 72 pounds of gold every day, and you have the jewel, right? Can you give me the jewel? So then I can let the people of Dwarka know that the reason for the drought and the conditions here in Dwarka is not because you're not here, it's because Shyamataka jewel is not here. And all of that's Leela because Krishna's there. Who needs a jewel or a Akura? But the situation of lamentation that comes with the loss of something material has to do with our prolonged association with matter and the conceptions of life that are on the material platform. So in the beginning, this entry level of transcendental knowledge is that it helps detach one from the feelings associated with gain or loss on the material platform. Like the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita describes, in this state of self-realization, one is indifferent to duality. Pebbles, stones, and gold are the same. It's transcendental knowledge brings one to a position of neutrality. Indifference to various arrangements of matter. You can still recognize what they are, but you're indifferent to them because not only they're temporary, it's like a dream. How much importance do we place in a dream? Oh, I just had this wonderful dream, and I just had this terrible nightmare, and being tossed around by the mind. Sukha and dukkha. Instead, transcendental knowledge attaches one to that which is eternal, that which is sat, that which is real and substantial, and the other is insubstantial, it's ephemeral. So prolonged, so the one message here is, as there's prolonged association with bodily relationships and identification on the platform of the body, spiritual realization and going to another level of transcendental knowledge where there's just detachment, like Krishna exhibited, or Harisari told me a story once about on the one hand, but on the other hand, Prabhupada would show compassion when he heard, for example, that he received a letter that children were being hit in a gurukul, and Prabhupada, he said Prabhupada shows different ways of anger, and the most intense anger was his lower lip would quiver like this. He wouldn't say anything. He just looked very intense. Prabhupada said something like, I can't remember exactly, so this isn't a quote, but they should be killed. It was intense about, you know, compassion towards, it's just on the physical plane, but someone's put in your charge and you don't deal properly with that person that's put in your charge and you do the opposite. Very angry. But then on the other side, Harisari described to me that they were riding on the Delhi Agra road, and they were going either to Vrindavan or from Vrindavan. I can't recall from the description. And there was an accident on the side of the road, and it's different than in the West. In the accident, somebody comes right away and they whisk everybody away, and you don't see any big mess. But in India, it's different. It takes forever and ever. And the accident had just happened. And there was a body, bloodied and along the side of the road, the car mangled, and the devotees that were in the car, including the driver, were, just looking out the window and, oh, look at that. And Harisari noticed that Prabhupada just kept chanting very calmly and was unfazed. It's not like, oh, the suffering is fine, go right ahead and suffer, it doesn't matter. It was that kind of detachment. Who can say what his position was? But not identifying with the temporal. Something like in the case of, from the Bhagavatam, King Chitraketu. Because he was so attached to, this is sixth canto Bhagavatam, so attached to having a child, Angira Muni, recognizing he's too attached, I can't give him transcendental knowledge. He'll just bounce. So let me give him a son. Here's out to perform a yoga, you can have a son. But he will be both the source of great jubilation and a source of great misery. And Chitraketu thought, well, if a son isn't so respectful to the father, that's hurtful, but better that than no son at all, so fine, let's have the yagya. The son was born. And then the co-wives that had no child, they were envious and they killed the child, because all attention was going to the child. Certainly wasn't a nice thing to do. And Angira was beside himself with grief when he kept sobbing, and Narada and Angira came just at the right moment, like Narada always does. Then they gave transcendental knowledge, which pacified his bereavement. And then Narada spoke about devotional service, another level of transcendental knowledge. What does the soul that's different than the body do beyond the body, or when engaging? So devotional service was explained. The levels of knowledge is the point. And knowledge has this capacity of neutralizing the emotions of illusion up to the point of illusion is completely dispelled, as one is situated in one's relationship with Krishna, with proper understanding of Krishna. So the concluding part of the paragraph is Vidura already had this capacity. Now with association of Uddhava, that capacity increased even more. So just on his own, he was able to subdue that bereavement by transcendental knowledge. Next, text 24. While Uddhava, the chief and most confidential amongst the devotees of the Lord, was going away, Vidura, in affection and confidence, questioned him. Purport. Vidura was much older than Uddhava by family relationship. Uddhava was a contemporary brother of Krishna's, while Vidura was as elderly as Krishna's father, Vasudeva. But, although junior by age, Uddhava was much advanced in the devotional service of the Lord, and therefore he is described here as the chief amongst the devotees of the Lord. Vidura was confident about this, and thus he addressed Uddhava in that higher category. That is the way of courteous dealings between two devotees. So there's discourteous dealings where one stands on pride. I'm something. Fill in the blank. Like Daksha with Lord Shiva. I'm your father-in-law. And you think you're so arrogant, because he was arrogant. He was projecting. You're so arrogant. You don't have the refined culture of a person situated in knowledge, although you pretend to be. And not only that, and then insult and insult and insult, and I'm leaving. I don't want to be in the same place as you. Very ugly spirit. And that's not the way of courteous dealings between two devotees. In courteous dealings between devotees, we find, although Vidura, he's up there. Everyone went to, even before he went on pilgrimage and so forth, everyone went to Vidura to receive counsel. Even Dhritarashtra went to receive counsel from Vidura. He didn't follow it sometimes and said, I can't follow it sometimes. But he was respected. So here's a person that his whole life long he's been respected. Now he's with someone that's the age of his son, and he's offering respect to that person, rightly so. And Uddhava is rightly so offering respect back, and not only respect back, the next verse he's saying, better you go to Maitreya because he's senior to me. And this is the way of courteous dealings between two devotees. Respect. And we don't stand on formality. We stand on respect. There is formality, and formality doesn't get just dismissed. But what we stand on is respect. And through respect, there's some expression. Not just official and formal, but respect. From the heart, respect. Like, a very nice example comes later in this canto. Yeah. Where Swayambhuva Manu meets Kardama Muni. Devahuti, one of his daughters, wishes to marry Kardama Muni. So the Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, goes to see a Brahmin. And the Brahmin, receiving Swayambhuva Manu, immediately gets up and showing respect and offers words of appreciation, glowing appreciation. Swayambhuva Manu, you've come deep into the forest to see me, and whatever it is, there's some reason, and the answer is yes, whatever it is. Blank check, fill in the amount, whatever you want. The answer is yes. And in turn, Swayambhuva Manu offers his words of praise and appreciation of Kardama Muni. It's not like it's not a competition who's going to be more humble or something like that. It's the genuine appreciation for one another. And this is the way of courteous dealings between two devotees. We go back to, you know, we're being accustomed to bodily relationships and bodily conceptions along with those bodily relationships, and that's the impediment that we have. Or we're not cultured. We're not accustomed to being in cultured settings where respect prevails and persons are respectable, they're worthy of that respect. That's a whole other thing that we're accustomed to. So it gets tarnished and it gets complicated very quickly. One more verse. Vidura said, O Uddhava, because the servants of Vishnu, the Lord, wander in the interest of serving others, it is quite fit that you kindly describe the self-knowledge which you have been enlightened by the Lord himself. So here we are with self-knowledge again, and in the purport it's self-knowledge, self-knowledge, it repeats itself, self-knowledge. So we'll go back. This, because it's a refrain. And text 19, we heard Paramam Stitim. And then in text 20 is the path of understanding self-knowledge. Adita Tattvatma. So Atma Tattva. Vibhodha Marga. The path of understanding self-knowledge. There's all this nice exchange of culture, of behavior, and appreciation of Krishna's reciprocation capacity and all of those nice things. But there's Atma Tattva. So now he's asking, Jnanam Param Svatma Raha. So, Raha, mystery. Going back to the Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavatam, Rahasya Guyam, confidential knowledge about the relationship with the personality of Godhead. Brahma wants to hear that. And Prabhupada speaks about that again and again, the mystery of devotional service. The mystery of devotional service is this very wonderful topic of the exchange of love between the devotee and Krishna. So there's the activity. We do things for Krishna, but that's karma yoga. You do things that you like to do for Krishna, and you do them for Krishna. But there's more in the realm of devotional service. And that's what Vidura wants to hear. I'll read the purport and the verse. O Uddhava, because the servants of Vishnu, the Lord, wander in the interest of serving others, it is quite fit that you kindly describe the self-knowledge which you have been enlightened by the Lord Himself. Purport. The servants of the Lord are actually the servants of society. They have no interest in human society other than to enlighten it in transcendental knowledge. Semicolon. They are interested in imparting knowledge of the relationship of the living being with the Supreme Lord, the activities in that transcendental relationship, and the ultimate goal of human life. That is real knowledge, which can help society achieve the real aim of human welfare. Knowledge in the matter of the bodily necessities of eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, transformed into various branches of advancement of knowledge, is all temporary. A living being is not the material body, but an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Being, and thus revival of his self-knowledge is essential. Then verse, without this knowledge, the human life is baffled. The author of the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva, is very clear, and the followers of the Bhagavatam, likewise, qualified followers, are likewise very clear that the gift of human life is the opportunity to get this understanding, and the Bhagavatam delivers it. The servants of the Lord Vishnu are entrusted with this responsible work, so they wander over the earth and to all other planets in the universe. That's for Narada Muni. Thus, the knowledge which was received by Uddhava directly from the Lord deserves to be distributed in human society, especially to persons like Vidura, who are highly advanced in the devotional service of the Lord. When I was reading this, I was thinking, where did Prabhupada go? I mean, Krishna Loka. But one of the things, like this discussion that happens earlier in chapter 2, where Uddhava is on the physical plane, at least his body is, but his consciousness is with Krishna. And literally he was with Krishna. And he had to come back from Vaikuntha to this physical plane to do his service. Something like, you know, from the first canto, where Bhishma Dev, as the sun starts moving to the north, he just withdrew his senses, because previously he's extending his senses for service and long lifetime of doing service for others. But at a certain point, he consolidated his senses and just did one thing. Fixed his consciousness upon the personality of Godhead. Meaning, that was the case when he was doing his service. Now there's only one thing. A time to withdraw the senses from action. The tortoise that withdraws his limbs into the shell, or can extend them for some. So that capacity to do service for Krishna is based upon the mind, which is the chief of the senses, being fixed upon Krishna, and then extend the senses for service to Krishna. That fixing the mind has its primary means of achieving that is by the hearing process, hearing and chanting, and then practical service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. The category of Padasevanam, it can mean in a restricted way, like Lakshmi is worshipping and massaging the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But there are places where Prabhupada expands that knowledge, the concept of Padasevanam, to encompass like what Maharaj Ambarish did, fixing his mind upon the Supreme Lord, and that he gazed all his senses. in the mood of humble submission at the feet of the Lord. So all varieties of devotional service in one sense is under the category of padasevanam, because we're serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And when we do, he includes deity worship and offering prayers, which are the other processes, but those other processes are expansions from the simple beginning stage of whatever it is that we do. We're at the feet of the Lord and we're serving him. Last paragraph and we're done. Real knowledge, real transcendental knowledge, descends in the disciplic succession from the Lord to Uddhava, from Uddhava to Adur, and so on. Such supreme transcendental knowledge is not possible to achieve by the process of imperfect speculation as performed by the so-called learned mundane wranglers. So, positive and then the reverse. Injunction and prohibition. Vidura was anxious to know from Uddhava that confidential knowledge known as Paramam Stitim, there it is again, in which the Lord is known by his transcendental pastimes. Again, the emphasis on the pastimes, which are nothing but exchanges of love. When Krishna went into the cave to find the Shamataka jewel, it was just an opportunity for Jambavan to meet the Lord. And because Krishna has a chivalrous dimension, he engaged in combat with Jambavan for 28 days, day and night, nonstop. And Jambavan's no slouch. She's powerful. But it was just for an opportunity of a loving exchange. And look, there's Jambavati. There's the Shamataka jewel. So the wedding, the marriage of Jambavati and Krishna took place very informally, right there in the cave, husband and wife. And they'll go back to Dwarka, husband and wife. And when Satyabhama was given in marriage to Krishna by Satrajit, it was a formal, royal, another kind of marriage. It's just different varieties of loving exchange. The pastimes of Krishna is but varieties of loving exchange. So when we speak of devotional service, it's far more than behaviors. It's behaviors are there, like saying where you don't stand on formality. Formalities are there, but that's not the essence. The essence is not the formality. The essence is the extension of offering of love to Krishna, as we're making offerings of whatever, worshipping the deities, for example. Not the items that are in the... Krishna can do it. He doesn't need somebody to do that for him. He can accept the service, but the real essence is the love of which something is offered. That's the essence. And then the exchange of love from one who offers love. And that's devotional service. The reciprocation of transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The last part. Although Vidura was older than Uddhava, he was anxious to become a servant of Uddhava in the transcendental relationship. This formula of transcendental disciplic succession is taught by Lord Chaitanya also. Lord Chaitanya advises that one receive transcendental knowledge from anyone, whether Brahman or Shudra, household or sannyasi, provided that person is factually conversant with the science of Krishna. Yay, Krishna Tattva, say Guru Roy. A person who knows the science of Krishna is factually a bona fide spiritual master. Very nice conclusion. So, any discussion? course. But it's not the essence. In Nectar Devotion, it said the same thing in a different way. How does Prabhupada write it? The devotional service is not just the activity itself. You know, so somebody that rings a bell and waves a stick of incense. What's that? That's a formality. It's an external, but that's not the essence of what devotional service is. The offering of love, and there's a form of it, because that form is pleasing. So we do that. We don't something else. We do that. It's a subset of the essence. It's not the essence. Paying obeisances. A child can. The essence is the submission, and there's a form of it. Yeah. Well, by submission and by cultivation, you know, that the there's a conditioned and there's a constitutional nature, and by practice and by rank, you know, by, as you're saying, submission, then the constitutional becomes prevalent and the conditional recedes. So it's only natural, as you say, from our experience, when we use something, we relate to it in terms of our experience. It's only natural. We can't just dismiss it. Just hit the eject button and it's gone. It's not like that. It's but gradually, by cultivation, proper guidance, submission to that guidance, hearing, purification comes from hearing properly, then another consciousness arises. That's the real thing, and the other conditional thing subsides. Gradual purification. And certainly submission is core to that. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.